Oh, welcome, welcome, welcome back to Damon Bruce Plus. It's wonderful to have you here today. It is Tuesday, January 13th, and we got an awful lot of stuff to get into. But let's begin with the really, really good news. I know everybody out there is thinking about the big football weekends that are coming up. I mean, the 49ers are in the NFL's version of the Elite Eight. It is a good weekend to shut yourself indoors, watch a lot of football, and eat well. And when it comes to eating well, there's nobody on my channel trying to help you do that more than my man Ike. And this is where I want to start today, because Ike right now has a promotion going on for 49ers fans. And here's the deal. Check out Ike's Catering. Ike's Catering means you're going to order a whole mess of sandwiches. And right now, any order over $250 is going to save you $49. Ike is going to take $49 off of any catering order over $250. I know that's a big whopping meal, probably too much for just one, but you're going to have a whole bunch of fans around you. Check out Ike. Forget the pizza. Forget the stuff that you normally get. Forget the wings. Get some sandwiches to your parties this football weekend, coming weekends, Super Bowl weekend. I'm looking forward to seeing my man Ike on Radio Row. That's going to be a really good time. And again, if you don't want to go a whole bunch of catering, you just want to sign up for that Love Rewards program yourself, you could not do yourself wrong when you do that. Thank you so much to our friends at the Dubliner West Portal. Where are you watching the divisional? How about the Dubliner West Portal? Guess what? Muni picks you up, drops you off right out front. The best Guinness in all of San Francisco is just waiting for you at the Dubliner West Portal. Thank you to Kenny and John. Love you, boys. And let me just tell you, have an awful lot of fun over on Sleeper. Use promo code Damon when you sign up. Sign up now if you haven't already. If you haven't already, you missed a great NFL season over on Sleeper. Incredible user interface. You make your own parlays, huge payouts and winning, all sorts of boosts to enhance your experience. Check it out. And use promo code Damon. You get $100 off on your $100 match on your first deposit up to $100 using promo code Damon, and use the link right on the description of this video. So thank you to my man Ike. Thank you to all of you for being here. Thank you to the Dubliner, and thank you to the San Francisco 49ers, who are entering really a whole new NFL season when you think about it. And they're going in with, I think, some house money. And that should be, you know, this team has been a little tight over the last couple of weeks, and rightfully so. They've been up against it. Now I think they're playing with house money, which means they should all loosen up a little bit. And I can't help but look around and see what I'm calling Niners 2.0. Now, it's a shame the 2.0 doesn't come with George Kittle. But let me tell you, Eric Kendricks and Garrett Wallow, these two guys who just stepped in at linebacker, I think are real equation changers as this team heads up to take on the Seahawks. And let's be totally honest, that Seahawks game, the Seahawks game that we just watched in week 18, you saw running backs going wild all over the San Francisco 49ers. You had Walker, you had Charbonnet, and these guys felt like they were 8 yards a touch with each and every touch that they made. I don't think it's going to be that way around. A huge reason why is going to be Eric Kendricks, who you saw, this veteran linebacker, was lining up the defensive line right in front of him. Guys, shade this way, shade that way. He was like an orchestra conductor out there. Garrett Wallow, again, his first postseason start. This guy made a whole mess of tackles. And that Seahawks game came with a whole mess of missed tackles. I think that that is going to make a huge difference, just slowing down Seattle's running game. And it also feels like Alfred Collins and CJ West have officially bloomed into the players this team needs both of these rookies to be. Again, I guess you can say technically their rookie year is over. They have played a regular season of rookie season football. This is a whole new thing now. And I got to give some credit to Yetur Gross-Matos, who I accused of, we haven't used your name in weeks, dude. We haven't really used your name since you signed your Niners contract. Yetur Gross-Matos played well in Philadelphia. I rewatched that game. But let me tell you, Alfred Collins and CJ West did a whole bunch of dirty work. It's not coming out in the box score. A lot of defensive tackle play isn't seen in the box score, but that dirty work goes a long way. And I'll tell you, Nick Wagner from ESPN really broke this down, I think, as good as anyone. So CJ West, go Hoosiers. I mean, Hoosiers are playing out of their minds right now. So CJ West, when he was on the field, the Eagles, well, how about this? When he was off the field, The Eagles had 19 carries for 85 yards. That's a 4.5 yards per carry average. And when he, when he was on the field, 17 carries for 55. That yards per average went down to 3.2. When it was West and Collins on the field together, that number dropped to 38 yards on 13 carries. That is 2.9. Those two young men out there on the field have made things easier for a defensive line that could use an easier day at the office. You got Eric Kendricks and now Garrett Wallow behind them. And look, I do like Tatum Bethune. I do. I think he's going to be a fine football player. Obviously, if Fred Warner could go, he would go. Not expecting it. And Kyle kind of shut that down this week when he was asked about it. But these two guys, the rookies, playing in front of an experienced linebacker like Eric Kendricks and Garrett Wallow, it feels like it's a little bit of a 2.0 look for a defense that needed a little bit of a new look. I think we have to give some love to Marquise Siegel, who comes in at safety. He had not played but one defensive down since week 12. I saw that, I think, on Niners Nation. One defensive snap since week 12. Jair Brown gets hurt in Philadelphia. He comes in, and he is in the mix on everything. He played great football in Philadelphia. The rookie just waiting for his chance to shine. Upton Stout. I know that some of you looked at some rookie mistakes, some growing pains snaps, and there were plenty of them this year for the rookie. Think about how difficult it is to be a slot receiver. You are out there. You're more on an island than a straight-up corner who at least has the sideline to help defend him, to help defend anyone. You know, the sideline is the 12th defender. And when you are a nickel corner, you're in the middle of the field. You are out there alone. To be a rookie nickel corner who's got this much scrapple in him, he played a really good game in Philadelphia, is a big reason why the 49ers are moving on to Seattle. And again, they're bringing a much different defense to Seattle, even though the Seahawks' last opponent was the 49ers. That's crazy. The Seahawks now have to play the 49ers twice in a row. That is rare in football, so that makes it weird. It's a division game. That makes it weird. Sam Darnold ready to make that back-breaking mistake? You hope so. That could make things weird. And let me just tell you what I also really like about what feels like a new Niner team. It might have taken all this year, but this offensive line is starting to come together here. It did in Philadelphia to the point where they kept Brock upright. I know the running numbers were not impressive. I get it, but that's Philadelphia's defense, and they're good. This offensive line, though, they got to feel great the way they held that defensive line at bay in Philadelphia. And I'm going to tell you right now, Spencer Burford, when you rewatch that Philly game, and I did, so you don't have to, but when you take a look at that game, man, when you take a look at it, Spencer Burford, was like a breakfast or like a short order cook. He was serving some pancakes. He was absolutely serving some pancakes. Trent Williams being back, that matters. By the way, cheers. Little sip of the day for everyone right here, right now. Let's go. That was delicious. Hold on just a moment here, please. We will get back to the 49ers, but if this is true, if this is breaking news, let me look at these supers. First of all, Too Much Sauce says, what's your confidence level in Eric Kendricks for these next three games? Hey, the fact you're talking about there are three games left means that you got a pretty good confidence level. Look, I trust veterans who are well-rested and ready to play. He can't do it all by himself, but I just think that he adds a level of been there, done that to a team full of young players that needs that since they've lost their experienced veteran leader, Fred Warner. Now we just got Jesse right here saying, how do you feel about Tomlin stepping down in Pittsburgh? Did that just happen? We're going to be talking about Mike Tomlin here. I'm looking at the front page of ESPN right now. I do not see that. That would be the headline right now. If that were true and that happened, what does he say? I don't think he's going to step down. And I honestly don't think Pittsburgh should fire him. But that's a little bit later on in the show. We'll get to that. I thought you were telling me there's breaking news and Tomlin just decided to resign or something like that. I mean, did that happen? Tomlin, again, where do you see Tomlin out? I'm going to Google this again. Again, this is what happens when you don't have a producer and you're on your own. But this is the world we live in over here on the YouTubes. ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, Tomlin mum on coaching future, nothing happened, 4 hours ago, I'm looking at news, Tomlin, nothing, I'm not seeing it, there you go. I don't think anything's happened yet with Mike Tomlin, but Jess, thanks for the super. You threw me off my game there for a minute, okay? You startled me with that one. Let's see, what else we got going on? Oh, yeah. Back to the Niners and Seahawks. I think you're going up there with a more confident offensive line and a more confident defensive line. And the word confident doesn't matter as much as competence. And I think you're going to get a better offensive and defensive line performance. And let's be honest, after that Week 18 regular season finale, it cannot get much worse than how they played. All right? It cannot get much worse. Wait a minute. Thank you, Never Daunted, for pointing it out on a super. It's Schefter official. As of 3 minutes ago, Tomlin has stepped down. Really? Wow, hold on, wait a minute. All right. Here we go. It is true. It has happened. Look at this. Here are your vacancies. Steelers, Ravens, Browns, Giants, Titans, Falcons, Cardinals, Raiders, Dolphins. Wow. Wow. I didn't think it was going to happen. I'm going to have to, on the fly here, change what I was going to say about Mike Tomlin. He's going to have an awful lot of options to what he wants to do next, reports Schefter. No doubt about that. Take a year off. Maybe take a job in TV. I mean, I am... If I'm the Las Vegas Raiders, I'm hiring Mike Tomlin. You telling me this guy's never had a losing season in 19 seasons and you're trying to become anything other than one of the biggest groups of losers in all of football? To me, if I'm Tomlin, I'm staying away from the Browns job. Pittsburgh, Cleveland, that's never going to happen. I would not touch the New York Jets job with a flagpole. I'm not going to the Steelers if I'm Mike Tomlin. Obviously, Baltimore isn't about to hire Mike Tomlin. Those two guys are at each other's throats. The Steelers are not about to hire John Harbaugh. That's pretty obvious. Too much rivalry there. If I'm the Raiders, I'm coming after Mike Tomlin. He just informed the team he is stepping down. I mean, knowing when to exit is a great way to be a hell of an entertainer. Knowing when to get off the stage, if I can quote my old pal, Gary Radnich. Look at that, though. Wow. I mean, that is something else. It really, really is. Hold on. Let me get this here. We're going to get to that a little bit later. But I wanted to make sure I got that queued up. Wow. Some breaking news right here on the show. I'm talking Niners Seahawks. I'm talking Niners 2.0. And what, we're going to be moving on to the fourth head coach in Steelers history. Let me tell you, that becomes an awesome opening. It really does. If you're a 49er fan, I would be very worried about Robert Saleh taking that Steelers job. I mean, I'm bringing in Robert Saleh if I'm Pittsburgh. I'm bringing in Robert Saleh if I'm Baltimore. If I'm Robert Saleh, I wouldn't hesitate to attach myself to that Dolphins opportunity. Those to me look like the best jobs. I don't think he's going back to New York, but man, well, that's big news in the NFL. There's no doubt about that. If I could get back to the Niners, please. And 2.0 Niners going to Seattle. Let me tell you what they got, and it feels like they didn't have it the first time around. That's DeMarcus Robinson. He might have been out there. He might have been available, but he didn't do jack in that first game. The second game against the Seahawks. We know he was suspended for the first game against the Seahawks. But DeMarcus Robinson feels like he was just downloaded into this team's offensive game plan in that Philadelphia game. I don't think they win in Philadelphia without him. It feels like Kyle Juszczyk is now playing a better brand of football over the last handful of weeks than he has this entire season. I think Juszczyk is going to fill in an awful lot for Kittle. I think you're going to see, obviously, Jake Tongas and maybe a little bit of Luke Farrell. But when it comes to just like, hey, man, we might be telegraphing some shit here, I wouldn't be surprised to see Austin Pleasance just line up as a blocking tight end. I think he could do a better job than either Tongas or Farrell. I really do. So maybe he gets involved on the offensive line. That's probably a long shot, but I'm just throwing it out there in case Kyle Shanahan is watching. He's looking for some new ideas. I got one for you. And let me just say this too. The 49ers 2.0, I think, walks hand in hand with an energized, reborn, as happy as I have seen him in a post-game locker room, Kyle Shanahan. Shanahan knows that his razzle-dazzle play, the Juwan Jennings throw to McCaffrey, is right in the center of why they won that game. And you, as a coach, love it when you dial something up that's exotic and it pops that big. I thought Shanahan was, for the first time in maybe 2 years, he looked like easy breezy Shanahan. We've talked about how this job has aged that man like a president. He looked 3 or 4 years younger after that game in Philadelphia than he did before that game in Philadelphia. You know, I know it's very rude to go up to a woman and say, you know, you'd be a lot prettier if you smile. Kyle Shanahan, you're a lot prettier when you smile. I have not seen a smile like that on Shanahan in forever. So playing with house money, playing against a division opponent, playing with a chip on your shoulder, knowing that you're probably in a situation that you shouldn't even be in. You're one of the 8 remaining teams alive in professional football. It feels like house money. It feels like a good shot, even though it's a long shot going to Seattle. I don't think their defense is as good as Houston's. It's not that far away, though, and you just saw what Houston did to Aaron Rodgers and Pittsburgh in what turns out to be Mike Tomlin's last game ever, for goodness sakes. It's funny. So here is the segment that I had kind of prepared about Mike Tomlin. Excuse me. This is a guy whose reputation was officially outweighing results. I'll admit that. There is no doubt about it. But Mike Tomlin, and here was my argument for Pittsburgh to keep him, and look, he didn't get fired. He resigned. Wow. You know, great coaches, I think, know when their voice just is not falling on a locker room the way it used to. And I think coaches understand that, you know, I'm going to have a life cycle in this city, and 19 years in Pittsburgh is longer than most coaches. To get 8 years as a head coach in one place is quite an accomplishment. To get 19 years, double that in one place, to come back for a 20th year might have been a little bit of a big ask. Again, he's never had a losing season in 19 years, but Tomlin now has 9 straight seasons without a playoff win, 6 first-round exits. Good buddy of mine that I went to IU with, his name's Todd Sherman. He's a Pittsburgh boy, biggest Steelers fan you're ever going to meet in your entire life. I asked him, I texted him when the game was over. I think, do you think Tomlin's out? And here's exactly what he wrote me. He said, normal teams would consider a change after 5 first-round exits. Now this is 6. And if you're going to live with 6, what would number 7 matter? No losing seasons, blah, blah, blah. He felt a little apathetic about it one way or the other. Again, if you're a Steeler fan, you cannot dislike Mike Tomlin. But you might have run out of a little patience with the guy. And maybe Tomlin felt that. Maybe he heard the fired Tomlin chants that did go up in that wild card game. Him stepping down is a huge one. But I thought that that was more likely to be Aaron Rodgers' last game in football than I did it thinking Mike Tomlin's last game in Pittsburgh. That's something else. That is a juicy job with a built-in level of ownership patience that does not even exist in sports anywhere but else in Pittsburgh. I mean, that is a team that's been playing football forever. They've had 4 head coaches. It's extraordinary. So here's what I'm doing if I'm Omar Khan, who's the Steelers general manager. If I am Omar Khan, I am going to throw the bank at Malik Willis. I want Malik Willis to come on in and be my quarterback. Not more than I'd rather have Aaron Rodgers for one more year. I'd rather have the beginning of a rebooted, reborn Malik Willis, who absolutely, I think, is a starting quarterback. I would definitely get Malik Willis. I would pair him with Robert Saleh. I would keep that defensive identity that Saleh obviously would bring. I would pair, look at it this way. If Cliff Kingsbury isn't about to get another job, I would maybe bring him in with Malik Willis. I thought Kingsbury did a great job with Jaden Daniels. Man, NFL openings just got more interesting. And I wrote this morning. Should the Steelers move on? That feels like the best job opening in football. And it's just become it. It's a great outfit. It's an incredible football city. And you got a little bit of a clean slate to sort of rebuild something in your own vision there. Especially, you know, that team needs some offense cooked into it in a way that Tomlin wasn't able to. And I'm not saying that Robert Saleh is some offensive genius, but defense is the heartbeat of that franchise. So I wouldn't be surprised at all to find them very interested in Robert Saleh. And if I were Robert Saleh, I would be very interested in that job. I think the Ravens give you a very competent situation. This is me officially ranking NFL openings. Steelers number one. Ravens number two. You've got competence throughout that entire organization, and it comes with Lamar. Now, how you feel about that is how, you know, I guess the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You can look at Lamar Jackson and say, guess what? CJ Stroud now has as many postseason wins as Lamar Jackson does, which is a problem for Lamar Jackson. You can also say that Lamar Jackson's postseason shortcomings are not all on him, and he is beyond special and talented. This guy's a multiple-time MVP, and there's nothing wrong with that. I like Lamar. I wouldn't be hesitant to coach Lamar, but if you wanted a total fresh start, let me tell you, that Atlanta job is kind of interesting now. That Atlanta job, first of all, I just got back from the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That is an awesome stadium to play your home games in. Matt Ryan is now calling the shots as president of football operations. That team does have talent on it, and it's kind of a juicy opening because Matt Ryan is, again, maybe the puppet master. Who's the next GM going to be? That hire is going to dictate whether or not you really are interested in that and how much will the new GM have to say in the new coaching search. You'd think quite a bit. So that is interesting. Steelers, Ravens, Falcons. I think the three best openings, followed by kind of a tie with the New York Giants, who again, some incompetent decisions, but not an incompetent franchise. Steady ownership. You got the venom that comes with that New York media market. I'll tell you, the Dolphins, look, an owner with deep pockets. Miami is very desirable as a place to go, live, recruit players to. You know, you got tropical weather. You got yourself all kinds of, state-free income tax. And I will be able to give you a full report of that stadium, Hard Rock Stadium. I've never been to that stadium before. I will be there on Monday for the national championship game, for Christ's sake. So I'll be able to tell you a little bit more about that stadium. Believe it or not, after that, I got the Raiders. Look, the Raiders, you know, do have Mark Davis. And I don't think Mark Davis helps anything. But if you can get Mark Davis locked into a broom closet to stay away from things, what you then also have, I think, is a good GM in Spytek. You got Tom Brady as the Oracle, and that can't be bad for a team that is about to draft a quarterback number one overall. And I got to tell you, as the biggest Fernando Mendoza fan, I don't know if he's the number one overall pick level talent. I just think he is an incredible system with an incredible coach. An incredible wide receivers in protection. He is not the most tweaky athlete out there. You're going to have to give him a pocket to survive in the NFL. The Raiders' offensive line is atrocious. I could see the bloom coming off that Mendoza rose before it gets a chance to regrow and people get really excited about him. But I could also see the Raiders really screwing it up by not taking Mendoza. I mean, I guess I am taking Mendoza, especially if he goes and wins a national championship. But collegiate success means nothing in the NFL. It really doesn't. But I don't think that that is a horrific situation to step into the way that Arizona, the New York Jets, or the Cleveland Browns is just smothered in that ain't good. I mean, first of all, in Arizona, you're going to walk into a situation earmarked with bad ownership. You're also instantly in the most stacked division in football. There are four NFC teams alive. Three of them come from the NFC West. The Rams, the Seahawks, and the Niners, and the Bears are your four remaining. That's a hell of a year for the NFC West. If this were the NFC East, you'd have all sorts of dudes jerking off about, oh, look at how great the Giants, the Commanders, and the Eagles are, or the Cowboys. Oh, my God. They would just be jerking that entire division off. No one's jerking off the NFC West, which, you know, for all of our sakes, probably isn't a bad thing. But, I mean, seriously, if it were more fashionable to do that, I think teams would be doing that. Again, we got more coming in here from Supers. Knowing when to leave a party before it dies off. Yeah, I mean, maybe that's what Mike Tomlin did too much, Sauce. Again, knowing when to step away from the microphone, knowing when to take that final bow and exit the stage, I think is an essential part of a great career. And again, Mike Tomlin feels like he's been around forever. He's only 53. 53 is when most guys get their first head coaching opportunity. You know, late 40s, early 50s is when that job and that needle lands on a lot of guys for the first time. You get a young man with 19 years of I've never had a losing season NFL experience. That is interesting, man. One more from Never Daunted saying, once again, one more, Aaron Rodgers cost their coach a job. He's an unbelievable coach killer. Well, again, he resigned. And let me just say, Aaron Rodgers was the first guy at the microphone defending Mike Tomlin. Now, obviously, that didn't do the situation very good, right? We know that Aaron Rodgers, look at it this way. Aaron Rodgers has one of the single greatest fantastic NFL career, great quarterback to unlikable dude ratios of all time. And I tweeted about that. And again, immediately you had a whole bunch of MAGA Trumpers step on in and they tried to revive debates about COVID and blah, blah, blah. To me, Aaron Rodgers' unlikability has very little to do with his COVID, what he did then. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is disliked by his own family members. He is just an odd duck. And every single time he talks, it comes out weird. I mean, like, I wasn't even thinking COVID when I said Aaron Rodgers is just a weird dude, man. He's weird in the locker room. He's weird. I've had enough people tell me around him, this dude's just different. And not, like, good different, just odd different. I know he goes on Pat McAfee and gives you his best 12 minutes. But he's just a weird dude, man. I mean, I'm going to tell you this. Aaron Rodgers, the player, I think, you know, that career is going to be missed. And it's a career to be incredibly proud of. Even though one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time should have more than one Super Bowl. But he's got, what, the four MVPs. He's going to leave with the highest passer rating in the history of the sport. Top 10 all-time touchdowns guy. I think with top five, did he move in there? Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback, is undeniable. Aaron Rodgers, the person, undeniably weird and just not the leader that I think you need at quarterback. He's a guy who's, you know, willing to chew out anybody the minute they make a mistake, and I don't think you do that as a leader. Very strange situation. But how about that? That Pittsburgh job is open for business. He does have those crazy eyes. There's something about the crazy eyes, really. I mean, I don't know if it's too much ayahuasca. And look, I wouldn't blame anybody for going to smoke your peyote in the off season, go on your personal vision quest and peace piping. Dude, I like to go to fish shows and get loose. I get it. No problems there. No problems. But dude, yeah, he's just a weird cat. How about this? Talking about the Niners 2.0, Joseph Gould says DeMarcus kind of came out of nowhere, out of his mind. Hey, again, he saved the game in Pittsburgh. Really? Just getting some love on the video title. Hey, thank you. By the way, sometimes I ask ChatGPT to help me with the video title. I didn't today. 49ers 2.0 reboot. Preseason is a new season, postseason is a new season, and that's what this is. The 49ers hopefully have 3 one-game seasons left. Tomlin resigned, Kurt the Chameleon. Yes, he did. Apparently, he was not fired. He stepped down, which, by the way, that's an OG move right there. Like, you know, what's the saying? Real G's move in silence like lasagna. That's a man's move right there. I'm not going to take your bullet. I'm going to take a bow. I respect the shit out of Mike Tomlin. I really do think that he has been the most left out of great coaches' conversations while he's been a great coach. Probably above everybody. I mean, people want to roll their eyes at, you know, no losing seasons in 19 years. You go ahead and you try to do that. That is amazing. You know, there's way too many 8-8s in there. But again, that ain't a losing season. It's not a losing season. And I know that his first round exits have been a little bit of a sore spot for everyone involved. But again, look at who his quarterbacks have been throughout that. He's had one really good in his prime quarterback, and that was Big Ben. Ben Roethlisberger. Again, whatever you think about the guy, hell of a quarterback. You know, the very last of what Aaron Rodgers has to give at the blood bank is not enough. Look at the amount of Mitch Trubisky's and dudes that he's been dealing with. This is quarterback. It's never been great. It's never been great. And offense has always been the struggle point. We got Jesse saying, as a Raider fan, the Raiders will ruin Tomlin. I mean, yeah, there's an element that the Raiders ruin absolutely everything they touch at all times. There's no denying that. The team does have the Maloiki on it for sure. Remember, it was supposed to be about money and an ability to have guys retained and sign long-term contracts and put money in escrow to sign the major players. Now the Raiders are drowning in money and a financial situation with facilities out the yin-yang in an incredible stadium, and nothing got better. So the problem is ingrained deeper than whatever Oakland's shortcomings were supposed to be or what the Coliseum's financial shortcomings were supposed to be. There is an incompetence that is baked into that cake. But again, if you're looking for a baker to instill some competence, and this was why they brought in Pete Carroll. They thought Pete Carroll was going to just change the culture a little bit. Mike Tomlin's voice in a new room, I think that would matter. I do. Now, Sam Bruno Mike, who is, you know, he likes the Niners. He's a little bit of a sports polygamist, but he I know Mike is a Steelers fan. He says, now more than ever, it was time to move on from Tomlin. That being said, with the prestige of Pittsburgh, the Nets coach has to fit. Again, if I'm Pittsburgh, I don't think I'm looking for a first-time head coach, even though that's what Bill Cowher was, even though that's what Mike Tomlin was. Man, my phone is ringing off the hook here. Does someone else want to invite me to the national championship game? We're going to have to get to those calls later. But again, I think Robert Saleh is ready to be a head coach again. I know everyone wants him to stay with Shanahan here in San Francisco. Let me just say, I think Gus Bradley is already the next man up and next man in waiting to be this team's defensive coordinator. Steelers, Ravens, Dolphins, Falcons should all be taking a hard look at Robert Saleh. Another super from Scott WD says, I realize everything is polarized, but nothing triggers me like Brock's slander, which is unbelievable. It's still alive. People saying Hurts played better than Brock. I want this win so bad just for him. Look, it's obvious, Scott, that there are personal agendas that have been decided upon. And they're trying, some people, to speak those agendas into existence, even though every single time you look up at Brock Purdy, he is playing well in a big game. I think he's a talented quarterback. He's the right fit for the system. It's obvious him and Shanahan have something going. If you don't believe your naked eyes, use the numbers. There are plenty of stats available to say anybody crapping on Brock Purdy is just off the mark. You know, is he perfect? Is he the guy you'd invent in a lab to play the position? No. But he is out there playing it at a level where, look, I mean, it's hard to take anything away from Matthew Stafford in a year where he might be this league's MVP. But you want to talk about best quarterbacks remaining in the playoffs. I mean, we all know Josh Allen is a one-man gang unto himself. We know that, you know, Pittsburgh just got a hell of a season out of Drake May. Again, another guy who played himself into an MVP conversation, rightfully so. Bo Nix ain't there yet. I don't think C.J. Stroud is there yet. I don't think Caleb Williams is there yet. I don't think Sam Darnold's going to get there. You know, Sam Darnold wins the Super Bowl this year, then we can reboot that conversation about him. But the way people try to reboot a conversation at all times, Scott WD, you're totally right. It's nuts. It's a little nuts. And there's clearly an agenda. People hate to be proven wrong. Now, I'm not one of those people. I'm going to tell you, sometimes wrong happens. Sometimes wrong hits you right in the middle of the eye. Again, I said, and people were like, Damon, how dare you pick the Eagles and under the guise that I want to be wrong? Because that's how I felt. I thought the Eagles were going to win that game. I wanted to be wrong about that feeling. Some of you, again, you got to get your dicks out of your heart. Grow up a little. Not be so, oh, pearl clutcher. He said something I didn't like. What, am I supposed to lie to you? Am I supposed to tell you, yeah, I love the Niners going into this game. It's fucking hunky-dory. It wasn't. It wasn't. But they won. You want to say I was wrong about that? You can't, because I'm going to tell you I was wrong about that. I was, and I'm happy to be wrong about that. I want to be wrong about this. The Seahawks are probably going to win this freaking game, but the Niners got a puncher's chance. The Niners got a puncher's chance. You know, 7.5 points, that's a lot. Go ahead and look at all of these playoff games. Besides it really getting away from the Steelers last night, and I know that the Chargers did themselves no favors in their playoff game, all of these games have been by a razor-thin margin. I'm going to tell you this right now. I love the 49ers plus 7, 7.5. Shit. Yeah, I'll take the Niners in a touchdown if I'm gambling on this one. And honestly, if you're going to take the Niners in this game, I'd just put it on the money, honey. I would take the Niners money line straight up. If you think they're going to go win this game, I mean, excuse me while I whip this out. Go ahead and put it on the money. There you go. Elmore, again, screw the points, money line. See, that's what I'm talking about. Elmore, plus 316. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you think the Niners are going to go and win this game, leave the points. Leave the points on the table and put it on the money, honey. That's the way to go. Again, I don't know if they got a defense that's going to make anybody see ghosts. But Kurt, here's the thing. Seeing ghosts is a level of haunting. I don't think the Niners defense has available to them. But maybe they can be that creak that makes you sit up in the bed going, what was that? Maybe they can be some chains rattling. I mean, I don't think they're going to be the apparition that appears and scares you right out of the damn home. They're not built to be that anymore. But I think that they can make a play on third down. Look, the Niners were really good on third down in that game in Philadelphia. They were. The real recognizes real. Cool breeze. I don't know if that's about Tomlin or me or whatever. Thank you. Thank you, though. Oh, my God, it happened. Nick Wright was even giving praise to Purdy, saying that maybe he was wrong about him. I'm telling you, I'm going to talk some sense into Nick before it's all said and done. I'm doing my very best. I think it's working. But there's no doubt. Everyone's just waiting to pull the rug out from underneath any compliments to Brock Purdy. We got Tobin saying, Damon. IYO. I don't even know what IYO stands for. I'm an old man. You got to type those acronyms out. In your opinion, is that what that means? In your opinion? Okay. How much of the anti-Purdy crowd, the Cowherd, the Nick Wright, the Grant, is genuine opinion versus disingenuous clickbaiting? I think it's about 50-50. I mean, look, I can't fault anyone for having a crowd. What I fault is the person standing in the crowd telling me that this is the best show they've ever seen. Like, you know, I think that you've been quite misled through many years, and there is a mountain of overwhelming evidence, including this team still being alive, to prove. And I'm not trying to bag on Grant, man. I'm not. I'm done picking fights with anybody. I'm a happy person right now. My Indiana Hoosiers are in the national championship game. By the way, I'm trying to book freaking Uncle Luke. I've been texting him. I got his phone number. This is amazing, man. Some of the phone numbers I've got in my phone, it's amazing that they're in my phone. And now Uncle Luke is one of them. We've been texting back and forth a little bit, trying to set it up. I'll let you know if that happens. Doo-doo Brown. Doo-doo Brown. Okay. Be careful. Be careful who you go to, because, you know, look, here's the thing. I'm going to tell you what I really think. If I had an agenda, like, I mean, I don't like people who all they do is shit on Niners accomplishments, and I don't like people who all they do is pretend that everything the Niners do is a well-planned sequence of events that you didn't see coming, but they did. I mean, I think that there's way too many guys out on the edges of the extreme of Niner coverage, and I really do. I hope to be right in the middle. Now, right in the middle probably doesn't get you to six-figure subscribers right away. You know, the rational seems to play to a smaller audience than irrational does. Extremism gets the most amount of attention. And by the way, this is more than a sports topic, if you don't mind me saying. But being extreme gets an awful lot of attention more than just being rational. Again, I don't care. I'd rather this channel grow naturally around some rational thought than be some carnival barker in any direction. It's just not who I am. And by the way, I'm not afraid to be the asshole. You all know that. You know that. You know that. But I'm not trying to be the asshole just for asshole's sakes. And I do think that some people are. But I don't care. To each their own. I know the world is big and the world is goes in a lot of directions. And you can pick whoever you want. Go watch whoever you want as long as you come on back here. Come on back. Whoa, hold about this. Napalm Dog says on Dan Patrick, they were just saying that Juwan Jennings has as many postseason touchdown passes as Justin Herbert. Wow, that's bad. That's bad. I mean, yeah, Juwan had a touchdown in the Super Bowl against Kansas City, and he had a touchdown in Philadelphia. What are you telling me, Herbert's only got one? Oh, no. That gets a woof. By the way, you know when you got grown men saying you got cute kids? I do got some cute-ass kids. There's no doubt about it. I remember when we brought, you know, Jillian and I went to a fish show in Mexico with Jack. Jack was in a baby Bjorn. If we're counting in utero, Jack has been to 11 fish shows. But anyways, there were dudes who were just walking on the beach, tripping their balls off, and they would come up to my kid and be like, I mean, these are like 22-year-old dudes. They'd be like, that's the cutest baby ever. I got to share some of these Jack at a fish show and his baby Bjorn photos with you sometime. Today's not going to be the day, but I will. Maybe, how about this? Maybe you get some Jack Baby Bjorn photos at fish shows later this week. It feels like a Friday thing for me, maybe. Just another reason to like and subscribe, boys and girls. By the way, here are the numbers. Thank you very much, Chico. Herbert, 0-3 in the postseason, 2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Whew. Whew. I mean, I'm going to say this. I'm going to let Justin Herbert off the hook a little bit because he had basically the equivalent of fans being pulled out of the damn crowd to play offensive line in front of them this year. By the way, what is a fish show? Chili-matic. I hear you. It's P-H-I-S-H. It's a jam band. It's weird. If you don't get it, I understand. I understand. Okay. So, you know, we know that the NFL didn't do any favors by giving the Niners a short week turnaround. And I understand that they're, you know, these things get decided before any teams start coming out of the playoff pack with the reshuffling of the wild card weekend. It is tradition that the one seeds play on Saturday. Having said that, what matters about tradition anymore? You know, tradition is the worst excuse to keep on doing something that might not be the right idea. If tradition mattered in college football, we would have to take this whole thing apart again. They have just destroyed a level of traditions in college football in the name of this is a better way to do it, and whether it's a better way to do it or not, I guess the time will tell. Been good for the Hoosiers, but it's tradition is the wrong reason to just keep on doing something over and over again. Again, tradition means we shouldn't be playing on Thursday nights, but the money's good enough to do that. To me, tradition should take a back seat to optimal performance in the postseason. And, you know, you can reshuffle these games. You say, well, you told everyone thought the game was going to be Saturday. Well, now it's Sunday. Do you think anyone's going to skip it? You know, games do and should be moved around the schedule for the benefit of rating success. But to me, normally what you're doing is you're taking losers out of precious time slots in prime time to put winners and bigger brands with a bigger audience into your prime time games. And in the regular season, that absolutely matters. But to me, the star of the postseason is never the teams involved. It's the circumstances around the game. That's what we're here to watch. This is win or Cabo time. That, to me, is the drama of the postseason. There's no such thing as the postseason game I'm not interested in watching. There's no such thing as, well, this team is involved, so I'm not going to be watching that postseason game. That's crazy. I'm in. The star of the show are the circumstances, the consequences. One and done is the most consequential thing you can offer. Why do we love Game 7? Game 7 is the greatest two words in sports. Well, guess what? Every single postseason game in the NFL just takes you right to Game 7. You wake up in Game 7. It's win or die. That, to me, is the star of the show. So it doesn't matter when the show is being played. I'm going to watch that show at any hour. You could put a freaking postseason game in London, have it start at 6 a.m. West Coast time. Chances are I'm setting my alarm for 5:58, rolling out of bed, grabbing a little coffee and saying, let's go. Let's go. Little kegs and eggs and have some fun. By the way, the coffee is hitting today. It feels good. Feels right. Here's another sip of the day. Cheers, everyone. So again, just doing something in the name of tradition, to me, is not the right reason to do anything anymore in sports. Give me optimal performance. That's what I want in the postseason. I don't want injuries to affect postseason games. Ultimately, you want both teams to be at full strength, going at it with their best efforts, their most amount of time. The 49ers had to fly back from the East Coast. Short week. Here's the thing. At least it's the shortest road trip they got. Well, I guess it's a shorter flight down to LA than it is up to Seattle, but not by much, right? So they got a short flight to Seattle. I mean, are they going to go up there Saturday night? I'd almost say, shit, let's leave on Sunday morning. Let's just blow in, get a win, get the hell out of town. It's probably an awful lot for your football ops department, though. Gizmo Maltese, by the way. I'll tell people you don't have great handles. That's a great handle, Gizmo Maltese. Do you think Brian Robinson Jr. will get some effing carries? I mean, I bet on it, and I was wrong about that. I've been saying he's got to be involved. He's got to be involved. He's got to be involved. And the more I say he's got to be involved, the less he's involved. Why he is getting Isaac Garendo'd is beyond me. This is a proven NFL asset, a guy who gets the job done when he's handed the ball. I'm surprised that he didn't even see an offense. Look at it this way. If he was out there for an offensive snap in Philadelphia, he didn't get the ball. Zero carries, zero touches. And I think that's a mistake. And I actually think that it made the game in Philadelphia probably more difficult than it kind of should have been. I want to see him involved. I do. Scott WD says, men of a certain age value rationale over hot takes and Sydney Sweeney. Well, Sydney Sweeney is serving up two scoops. There's no doubt about it. And I value that, too. But again, I'm not a hot take guy. You can go through my 20-year on-air career. I've never been a hot take artist. And that probably is one of the reasons why the career hasn't been bigger. I got to be me. I got to be able to look at myself in the mirror and not be like, well, one day I was crapping all over this guy, but by Wednesday it was cool to love him, so now here I am loving the guy. That's not who I am. That's not what I do. Okay. Let me offer this because this is something that's been in the conversation for about, I don't know, what are we talking? Maybe 2-3 days ever since the Jaguars got eliminated. I want to talk about this media interaction. Her name is Lynn Jones Turpin. She's a writer for the Jacksonville Free Press. She's actually the associate editor. And again, I'm sure many of you have already seen this and heard this. If you haven't, this is an interaction between her and Liam Cohn after the Jaguars were eliminated at the press conference. Here it is.
I just want to tell you congratulations on your success, young man. You hold your head up, all right? You guys have had a most magnificent season.
Thank you.
You did a great job out there today.
Appreciate
so you
it.
Just hold your head up, okay?
Thanks,
and ladies
ma'am.
And gentlemen, Duval, you the one, all
Thank
right?
You, ma'am.
You keep it going. We got another season, okay?
I appreciate
Take
it.
Take care and much continued success to you and the entire team.
Thank you, ma'am.
I want to tell you congratulations on your success, young man.
You
hold your head up, all right? You guys have had a most magnificent season.
Thank you.
You did a great job out there today.
Appreciate
so you
it.
Just hold your head up, okay?
Thanks,
and ladies
ma'am.
And gentlemen, Duval, you the one, all
Thank
right?
You, ma'am.
You keep it going. We got another season, okay?
I appreciate
Take
it.
Care and much continued success to you and the entire team.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. So look, the most professional person in that exchange was Liam Cohn, who was just gracious and saying, yes, ma'am, thank you, ma'am. Warmth is not necessarily an attribute for any reporter. And look, I know that the public, and this is by design in so many cases, but the public has been very confused about what media has been. And the media, I'll be totally honest with you, has been confused as well. There are a lot of people in the media who honestly shouldn't be, right? I mean, there are a lot of people, and I'm not saying that this woman shouldn't be. I don't know any element of her career but this moment. So I'm not going to tell you whether she's good at this or bad at this. But luckily, when it comes to press conference settings, media, what is and is not appropriate, I am a fucking expert in this subject, on this subject. And here is the correct assessment of what happened in that exchange. First of all, she seems lovely and likable, but that was, and there should be zero confusion about this. There should be zero excuse making about this. That was unprofessional. Now, it wasn't unprofessional to the point of she needs to have her, you know, credential yanked, never allowed in a press conference ever again. But what makes that unprofessional is that was a personal exchange. And let me tell you, to be a reporter, you cannot have, and again, I'm not a reporter, dude. I'm not a reporter. You don't see me trying to break stories. You don't see me trying to be like, you know, big transaction for the 49ers. Let's go. That's not what I do. That's not what I do. I do commentary. I'm not trying to be a beat writer. I never have been. I never, ever have been. But look, the press conference, the key word is press. And press is supposed to cover a topic without agenda and without favor. That woman put the word Duval in there. I'm going to tell you right now, if Larry Krueger was in a press conference and followed up a question with a bang, bang, Niner game, get bang, bang, Niner gang, I'd be like, Larry, what the hell are you doing? And Larry is a 49er fan, but that doesn't come out in the press conference. Now, to be a good reporter, you have to develop a little bit of a personal relationship. That is a message that she had every right to deliver to Liam Cohn. You just don't do it in the press conference setting. I think that was what was unprofessional about it. You know, you do need to have relationships. And a lot of people do root for the teams, and not root for, but are, you know, are in the town that the team is in, and they're all from there, and this is hometown. But you got to check that at the door. You have to. At least you're supposed to. You're not there to root. You're not there to console. You're not there to disagree, full stop. Or, you know, you're not there to cheer for a team. And this is Scott WD says, hard disagree. Well, Scott, let me tell you, I've been issued thousands of press credentials in my career. I'm guessing you've been issued zero. So listen to the expert on this one. You're wrong. You're wrong. And let me tell you for sure, absolutely for sure what's going on here is that patting her on her head, saying, oh no, you did right. You did very well in that situation. That to me is condescending. And that, you know, being caring and warm in that moment is not part of the job description. And let me also offer you this. You want a freaking hot take? Let me give you one. Let's remove the absolutely lovable auntie African-American woman quotient from that interaction. If that had come out of the mouth of a white reporter, a white male reporter, there would be 100% consensus across the board that that was unprofessional and that guy would be getting crucified. There would be nobody coming to defend that interaction if it were just a white dude who did that, okay? No one. If that offends you, I don't care. It's the truth. It's the truth. Had fucking Tim Kawakami did that. Tim Kawakami, again, not a white guy, but Tim Kawakami would get murdered for that. If Cam Inman, if Matt Maiocco, if Matt Barrows had done that, the crucifixion would be 100% public. You go ahead and you absolutely have that interaction privately. Privately, for her to have gone up to Liam Cohen and had that in a private moment would have been fine. But for her to give the guy a verbal hug in that moment is not where that moment is supposed to happen. Any other interpretation of that, other than what I just gave you, is 100% incorrect, and I'm telling you, I got this one right. I got this one as dead to right as anything I have ever evaluated or told you about or offered my opinion is. Here's the truth. You're looking for the truth. What should have really happened? I just gave it to you. Except no bullshit beyond what I just told you. There's what happened, and it's not the end of the world, and it shouldn't be the end of her career. I'm not saying that the venom has to come for her forever. But that was an unprofessional moment because it was way too personal for that moment. Full stop. I'm right. Anyone who disagrees with me is wrong and has never spent a day working in the media. And again, had that been a white dude, it would have been a universal crucifixion. Universal. Make no mistakes about that. What if a salmon guy? Yeah, I don't care what color you are. If that had been a dude, that dude would have gotten crucified, and rightfully so. What do we got here? Too much sauce. Is Jennings QB3 over CMC for Wildcat emergencies? Yeah, I would think so. I would absolutely think so. I mean, by the way, when you're on your emergency quarterback, the game is over anyway. But yeah, how about this? I bet you Juwan Jennings would have played better than Josh Johnson did in Philadelphia those years ago. Scott WD, he says, actually, I have photographed college and NFL games with credentials. That's, again, a photograph credential is completely different than a writer's credential, Scott. And you know that. Not a beat writer, but I'm not a nobody. She for 22nd channeled fans. Have you listened to LA Rams press conferences with McVay? Not much. No, I haven't. And look at it this way. Shame on anyone who's uncorking questions like that. You know, you don't channel fans. That is not the job. The job of press writer, beat writer, is not to channel the fans or speak for the community. You're not there to root for anything. No favor. Unbiased, no favor. And in sports, that is a lot to ask. I guarantee you, in a private moment, she would admit she even knows that's a little bit wrong. If she wants to stick to her guns and say, this is just who I am, well, maybe you are the wrong person for the job. But that can't happen again. And how about this? How about this? To prove that I am right, let me promise you this. She will never do that again in a press conference, ever. Never. And if I'm wrong, she will, right? If she feels good about that, when she's at the season opener next year, her question will come out like, it's just so great to see you again, coach. Welcome back. The whole city's pulling for you, and so am I, and we wish you the very best of luck on the upcoming season. There is no way in the world she's going to do that. Too much sauce. Lowell Cohn literally called for York's firing in a press conference. No one pushed back. Now, I thought Lowell was staggeringly unprofessional, and he made it about him at all times. His opinion was what he was trying to project more than ask any question. And I thought he was a buffoon of a writer. And let me tell you, a lot of writers who were his colleagues did as well. So, again, it wasn't her best moment. It doesn't merit that being her final moment. But I'm giving you the real. I mean, I'm telling you, that was not a moment she will duplicate again in her career. Bet on it. She seems lovely. She seems lovely. Lovely ain't part of the job description. It's not. It is not part of the job description. Warmth is not an attribute of a reporter. You want to be a columnist? You want to write that story that talks about how much this season meant? Go ahead, write that story. You want to editorialize it? That is fine. That moment in a press conference is not a moment of glory. That moment is not cloaked in glory for her. Period. Full stop. End of story. You're welcome, America. I am here to clear up confusion. In confusing times, that's why I'm here. All right. A couple of other things before we get to today in history. And these are things that if you're a Bay Area fan, you're going to want to know about. First of all, Warriors and Trailblazers tonight. We got no NFL playoff game, so we'll dip back into a little basketball season tonight. Golden State is 0-3 against Portland this season. They have yet to beat the Trailblazers, and the Trailblazers at 19-21, excuse me, are no great shakes, but they do turn into the Harlem Globetrotters whenever they see the Golden State Warriors, and they, with their youth and athleticism, just go running past the Warriors. Holy shit. So we'll see. We'll see what happens tonight. We are 2 days away from the Kuminga flush, aren't we? Or if the Warriors aren't actually doing a transaction with Jonathan Kuminga on the 15th, that entire front office should be absolutely murdered in the press. Murdered. I mean, if you have twiddled your thumbs on this guy to the point where the moment you're able to trade him, you should have that moment because God knows the Warriors could use the help. You know, you got talent, youth, that you're just sitting, letting rot on your own bench, which completely disintegrated the value of trading him. They depressed their own asset. They truly did. Again, any scenario that includes them getting Michael Porter Jr., I would do that. If they can come away with that, I'd be like, all right, okay. I guess the pain was worth it. They better beat the Trailblazers tonight to get back on track, and they better move Kuminga at sunrise on the 15th. Meanwhile, the San Jose Sharks, instead of having go Sharks, we've got no Sharks until Thursday. The Sharks are going to be at the Caps on Thursday. They got a couple days off here. This is a team that is 23-19-3 on the season. They're 49 points right now, has them fourth in the Pacific Division. We are halfway through this season. They are tops in the wild card race of the Western Conference right now, and it's a rebuild. This has been a hell of an interesting season for the Sharks, and if you haven't leaned in, it's time. It's time because what you are also watching when you are watching the Sharks is something that is nothing short of historic happening with Macklin Celebrini. This 19-year-old phenom could honestly work his way into Hart Trophy conversation. He might have already had, because look, 19 years old, there hasn't been a teenager like this in the sport of hockey since Sidney Crosby, since Wayne Gretzky. He has 70 points through the first half of the season. He is the sole driver of Sharks' success at this point in time. That Will Smith kid is also good too. But look, he is a 19-year-old who is third in points. That gets a...
Oy, oy, oy!
He is third in points in the NHL right now, behind Nathan MacKinnon and Connor McDavid. Now, I know a lot of you aren't Sharks fans or even hockey fans, so let me just tell you what that is. MacKinnon is one of the best players in the world on the best team in hockey. The Colorado Avalanche are, like, unbelievable this season. Pardon me. He's 30 years old. He's 30 years old, MacKinnon is. Now, Connor McDavid is probably pound for pound the greatest hockey player on the planet right now. He's 29 years old. They are in front of Macklin Celebrini, a 30-year-old on the best team in hockey, a 29-year-old who is probably the best player on the planet, and then Celebrini, who is 19 years old and is in his second season on a team going through a full rebuild that came into this year with Nunca expectations, Nunca, none, has them actually leading the wild card. If you have not joined the bandwagon, if you were a Shark fan who, after a few bad years of hockey, kind of leaned out, lean back in. They're playing again at the Caps on Thursday night, and they've been 10-10 on the road. They're good on the road. So there you go. Let me go ahead and see what else we got in terms of supers, some chats here. What do we got? I think we got all of our supers up on and read today. Thank you, everyone, for all of them. Even good guys like Damon can get it wrong. Scott, I get shit wrong all the time. That press conference interaction, I am right. You are wrong. Trust me. How about this? If you're right, you're going to hear nothing but kisses coming from all NFL press conference moments going forward. I guarantee you, you don't hear any interaction like that again in your lifetime. Okay? I'm good with it. I feel good. She doesn't have to be vilified, crucified, anything like that. But if a dude had done that, the universal crucifixion would be just that. It'd be coming from every precinct. Are you ready for a little today in history? This has been a fun show today. I've really enjoyed this one. Thanks so much for stopping on by. If you haven't hit like and subscribe, please do so. I'd really appreciate that. If you hit that notify button, you will know whenever we go live. So please hit that notify button. Hit that like and subscribe. We got over 500 people, 530-ish people watching right now, 222 of you in the YouTube studio right now, and we're just over 100 likes, which means let's get on it, folks. I mean, I can't hit that like button myself. Well, not more than once I can. Let me give myself a like. Sure, why not? If you can't like yourself, who could? So please go ahead, lean in, grab that like button, hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. We are over 50,000 subs. Incredibly proud of that. Thanks to all of you for being a part of that. I really, really mean it. Where are we right now in terms of total subs? We are at 50,259. I'm telling you, we are growing, baby. And it's all organic. It's all real. It is, none of it is fugazi. There's a lot of people out there buying subs. The only subs I buy are at Ike's. Let me tell you. And I guess those are sandwiches more than sub, but you do know what I mean. And let me just one more time tell you that right now, boys and girls, Ike has got an incredible offer for you. You can go to Ike's and you order some catering. If you order more than $250 worth of catering from Ike's between now and February 8th, you'll receive $49 off. This is perfect for your football parties, for your national championship game party, go Hoosiers. This is perfect for you want to watch Macklin Celebrini with a whole bunch of fans and friends? Go ahead. You want to have that done before the next Warriors game? Go ahead. $49 saved on a $250 catering purchase at Ike's right now. Check it out yourself. Again, thanks to the Dubliner. You can walk in with a box of catering to the Dubliner. You can put it right on the bar and eat it all right there yourself. Kenny and John will be like, that's cool. Just tip well. You can take it in, bring it in, have some fun, pass out sandwiches, instantly make new friends. And again, thanks so much to Sleeper for all you're doing here. Sleeper has been an amazing sponsor this entire football season. It is a great user interface and the fastest growing app you're going to find out there when it comes to making a play or two on a game you might be interested in or two. Of course, be responsible when you do it. And you get a $100 deposit match up to $100 by using promo code Damon right in the description of this video when you do it. So thank you very, very much. And let us officially get to, wait a minute, we got one more super here. One more, boom, boom, boom. What 49ers players would you trust to call plays? Brock Purdy, Mac Jones, okay? Yeah, that's what are you talking about? That's it. And I don't think anyone's going to call better plays than Kyle Shanahan. So it's his job. But I hear you. All right. As always, when we're in a day in history, we talk about whose birthday it is. And let me tell you, one of my absolute favorite television she in Seinfeld, obviously, iconic performance. I like her even more in HBO's Veep. Julia Louis-Dreyfus today. Happy birthday. 65 years old. Get a chocolate babka just for her. Patrick Dempsey. I mean, I remember when Patrick Dempsey was the dweeb in Can't Buy Me Love, which is a fun movie from the 80s. And he turned into what? McDreamy, McHunky, whatever he was on what was that? Is it like Ally McBeal or ER? I don't even know what he was on. It wasn't St. Elsewhere. Anyways, Patrick Dempsey, 60 years old. Orlando Bloom, 49 years old today. We got Liam Hemsworth. It's a handsome family right there. Liam Hemsworth is 39 years old. And speaking of talented hockey players, Connor McDavid, 29 years old today. 10 years older than Macklin Celebrini. Today, excuse me, move. Today, my good friends, today, in 1404, King Henry of England, this is King Henry the Fourth. I believe King Henry IV of England, he outlawed alchemy on this day in 1404. He was trying to prevent the creation of gold from base metals. That would have been the equivalent of Pablo Escobar outlawing talcum powder because people were converting talcum powder directly into cocaine. Like that, you can't do that. The same way you can't make gold out of metal. Henry was trying to prevent challenges to his reign by people just inventing gold. And this was so freaking patentedly stupid that by the time 1688 rolled around, they repealed that stupid law. Come on. I declare it illegal to fashion diamonds out of rocks. Thanks, Professor. I don't think we needed that law. Anyways, they were adorably stupid in 1404. They really were. Everyone was an idiot in 1404. Okay. Today, in 1863, if alchemy is something that never existed, thank God this guy came around, because today in 1863, Thomas Crapper invented the portable toilet. He is not the person who invented the toilet, but the portable toilet. Thomas Crapper, he did that today. And that is part of the reason his last name went down in history. Today in 1906, the very first radio set was advertised. It was called Telemco. Telemco, the first radio set, was advertised in Scientific America for $7.50. And I looked this up. $7.50 in 1906 is the equivalent of $285 today. So that was a big purchase, I guess, back then. But the very first radio set advertised today in 1906. We fast forward to 1962, where today, Wilt Chamberlain of the Philadelphia Warriors scored 73 points against the Chicago Bulls. In that moment in time, that was the highest point total ever in NBA history. And let's face it, we all know Wilt's got number one with the 100, the famous picture of him holding up the sign in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Then it's Kobe with 88. And then it was Wilt Chamberlain scoring 73 points, I believe, twice in his career. By the way, on the night Wilt put up 73 points, by the way, this is who the Warriors should be trading Jonathan Kuminga for. Whoever is the modern Wilt Chamberlain, get in that guy. Wilt Chamberlain not only had 73 points tonight in 1962, I looked this up. He also had 36 rebounds. Could you imagine a guy having 73 and 36? Good God. Today in 1967, a U.S. patent was officially issued to the Wham-O company for their improvement in the aerodynamics of the Frisbee. So there you go. The Frisbee as you know it today, patented. Today in 1968, the Ring of Fire never burnt in such a precarious situation, but Johnny motherfucking Cash, Johnny Cash brought to us, not to us, to the prison, Folsom County Jail Show today. The Folsom County Jail Show, Johnny Cash's legendary prison concert today in 1968. And really nothing ever happened, anything more important than that. How about this? Outside of the portable toilet, which I've used a few times in my life, I probably had more portable toilet interactions than I even had Frisbee interactions, but I've listened to the Folsom Prison album more than I've done anything else. So today in 1968, history stopped as far as I'm concerned. Nothing happened between 1968 and today that is more important than Johnny Cash doing his Folsom County Jail show. And there you go. That is today's show. Oh, by the way, today, Bill Wanger says today in January 13th, the Thailand Ministry of Public Health confirms the first laboratory confirmed case of the SARS COVID virus outside of China. Oh, those were just the good old days. So much fun. Upton picks Darnold off on Saturday. Book it. Michael Loco. Sign me up. Sign me up for Upton Stout doing that. I would love to see that. It was great to see so many of you here. I appreciate you all coming in today. Thank you for being part of the show. And yeah, you're right. Smiley Dan, the man in black. Again, there was a great bar mid-market that used to be called the Lucky 13. And the Lucky 13 isn't open anymore. They closed the Lucky 13 in the name of they were going to build a big bar there, but they never did. And they were going to build a big high rise or town, you know, somewhere where people are going to live. But for whatever reason, that project stalled. So the Lucky 13 has just been sitting closed for years now, which sucks because that was a great bar and they had a great jukebox. And in the old, when you used to get your news in the Guardian, you know, the local, here's what's going on this week in San Francisco, they would list every single new thing. They rotated their jukebox. They had a great jukebox. Their jukebox was rock. It was punk. It was awesome. It was a great jukebox. And no matter what they had, every single time they would just advertise Lucky 13, come and play our jukebox. And that would end with all the things that they had in there. And then the last line, no matter what, they never took out, and Johnny fucking Cash. That was great, man. It was great. What a fun bar. Too bad it's closed. Speaking of fun bars, get checked into the Dubliner West portal. Sign up for Sleeper. Again, $49 to be saved on any Ike's catering order between now and February 8th. Place that order. Save $49 on any order over $250. Thanks to Ike's. Thanks to you. Thanks to the Dubliner. Thanks to Sleeper. Thanks to everyone who offered up a super today. Thanks to everyone for being here. And please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that, he's gone.